welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, I'm just going to share this morning, or start to share. I want to share on, I think I've voiced it some while ago, because God's been speaking to me about this for a long while. A culture of giving and generosity in the house of the Lord, because that's where it begins, in the house of the Lord. The house of God has to be strong in every area and every way. And yes, it does involve giftings and abilities. And yes, it does involve finance and all of those areas. It does need all of those things. But the greatest thing the house of the Lord needs are people who are planted in the house, who are actual living members of that particular body of Christ, functioning within their given ability. And the house of the Lord is the greatest instrument on the planet, the greatest instrument in the hand of God on the planet. I just want to start touching that this morning. Let me say it again. I want to communicate, with God's help, get across something which avoids us, and I'm not going to go into the reasons why it tends to avoid us, not just us, but the body of Christ on the whole. And what I want again to say is God wants us to have a culture, a lifestyle, if you want another word, of generosity and giving. Giving of everything that we are and have and can. Of giving. Yes, that includes finances. Yes, that includes time. Yes, that includes the deposits of God within us and the gifts that are there. But a lifestyle of giving. Through the time that God, and it's still working it through in me, but since the Lord started, which is a couple of months ago, I did mention this once or twice before, that God was speaking to me about a culture of giving, and I've never addressed it. But during that time, I've realized just how vital and how important that is in the house, in the local house. So I think this morning, if I just lay a bit of a foundation as to why that's the case, before we go and look at what the Bible actually says about that. It all begins in God, and it all ends in God, too. But we need to go back to the beginning so as we can get some understanding as to what it's all about. The Bible tells us that God is love. Well, the Bible also tells us in Corinthians that the greatest of faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. And God is love. He doesn't love. He is love, therefore has no option but love, because he is love. We know that. But God is love. And because of that love, he is ever giving, is always giving. He gives and gives and gives again. And that God that's always giving, who is love, when he created the heavens and the earth, when he made mankind, he had love working through him and purpose all the time. God loves us. God is love. Way back in the very beginning, I think it's Genesis 8, verse 22 or somewhere there, we are told that God sets something in motion, which is, if you think about it, awesome, but it's a principle. And that's this, that he set in motion. He said, as long as the earth is, there shall be seed time and harvest. He said, there shall be a time of seed sowing, and the result will be a harvest. I'm just going to keep on until I can get it across and you hear really what I'm saying and what God wants us to hear. He was saying from the very beginning, as long as the earth is. Wow. There's coming a day when this earth is going to no longer be here. Judgment of God is going to come upon it. But as long as it's here, there's going to be a time of seed time and harvest. What does that mean? Well, it means this. There's going to be a time when we, man, will give to the earth seed. And the earth will give back food. He established right there and then this principle that the devil wants you and I to hate. The principle of giving. He hates it. He hates it. And so he blinds us at that point there. So no longer do we want to be generous, because we judge and determine our generosity and our giving by what we've got. And we live in the same fear that Jesus Christ has delivered us from. We have no fear. We're born again, kept by the power of God. The Christian believer doesn't fear. Time and time again, you'll find the scripture saying, fear not, be not afraid. Glory to God. But Satan wants us, when it comes to being generous and giving, generous with our time, not just your money, generous with whatever aspect of life comes along. Generous, a giver. But God established the principle of giving way at the beginning. Way at the beginning. As long as the earth is, as long as you will give to the earth, it'll give back to you. I want to tell you, family, if we stopped sowing seed across the world, this planet will die very quick. This planet will die very quick. You see, we don't allow the Spirit of the Lord to talk to us enough about this, and so therefore our brain takes over, and that's governed by a carnal mind, an uninspired mind. We therefore think without an uninspired mind. What do I mean by that? An unenlightened mind, by hearing what God says. So we listen to what, well, we've been raised up hearing. It's more blessed to keep than to give. Well, if you had an inspired mind, you would know that God doesn't teach that. He teaches the opposite. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You say, Pastor, you quoted that wrong there, didn't you? No, I didn't. He says it's more blessed to give, to be generous than to receive. Why? Why? I want to take you back to this one principle that was established at the beginning. When you give, I'm going to use a phrase which I had never thought to use, and I don't think I've ever used it before. I don't know whether I'll ever use it again. But I'm going to use it, and I am free in the Holy Ghost to do it. I know that because I've been okayed right there and there. God is obligated to give to you. When you honor Him, He honors you. And yet so much of the body of Christ are strapped because they won't allow themselves the liberty of really having what they believe they have, and that's a God who is faithful and true and will always keep His word. And so our minds are governed with carnal thinking. I need it more than that thing does, or they do, or whatever. Because they have no concept of give and you shall receive. And I'm quoting Bible. So what God's put in my heart over these months is vital to us as a church, because we're here to do the work of God. We are here not as poor individuals that can't do it. We are firstly saved, born again. And then this is a church that is not only born again, but praise God, Spirit filled. We believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the anointing that destroys every yoke by the Holy Ghost. We believe in that. So therefore, this church is an awesome instrument in the hand of God, potentially. This house, this church, this body. And this is just one of many churches, bodies of Christ around the province. I just had a thought there that, you know, there's a lot of you here, but you might not have the physique that I've got and the athleticism that I've got. I can see the smiles. Are you implying that I haven't got a great physique and that I'm not athletic? I've lost my thought going off at a tangent like that there. But this body, this local body, as any local body, is set apart to do exploits for God. Wherever those exploits are needed to be done. And whatever those exploits are that are required to be done. From the natural to the spiritual. From the power of darkness being put underfoot to financial supply being able to be sent across the nations to further work the work of God. This in every local church is an instrument in the hand of God, but it's only as strong as the body is. If this body had lost his legs, this body is somewhat inhibited, limited, restricted. If this body has lost his right arm and it's a right-handed person, it's even further restricted and limited, though we can walk, we can talk and carry on, but you understand what I'm saying. The local church has been set back because the enemy has got hold of one of the biggest principles that God has given to us, and he has blinded our eyes to its truth because fear has controlled our thinking rather than the Word of God. And so consequently, we are not generous people. We are not givers. So when it suits us or we think we can give a little bit. I'm not after your money. I'm not after your money. I am after this church fulfilling anything and everything that God would have accomplished through us. I do not want your money. If I was after your money, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I wouldn't be talking to you about this. I would not. So I'm not after your money. But it is my responsibility before God to make sure that this house glorifies God, fulfills every high calling that's been placed upon it. And I'm talking at this initial stage about a lifestyle, about a culture within this house of giving. I don't know if you realize why I'm talking about in this house first. The importance of this house having a spirit of generosity towards one another. You know, and until we love, until I love this body enough, right, I'm not going to love you so much. If I am totally indifferent about myself as a person, physically, or the way I dress, or what I have for people to look at or to be take advantage of, if I am totally disinterested in this man, then I'm going to be, excuse me, I'm going to be disinterested in everything and everybody else. If we are disinterested in this house, if I don't love you and you love me and one another and are sensitive to one another's needs, circumstances, difficulties, when they haven't said it but you've heard it through the grapevine and you can do something about it, that you've gone alongside and said, can I pray with you? I understand that these are taking place in your life or whatever. You and I will never touch the world for God. We will never touch our town for God. If we cannot be generous and givers within this house. We'll never be generous and givers outside in this town or anywhere else. You'll never do it. This house is important. This house is a local body of Christ. It's an expression of Jesus. That's what this Bible says. I'm just laying a foundation. I'll take you to scriptures maybe as we go on, but not today. Maybe we will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got to get the blinkers off. We've got to realize that we are our brother's keeper and sister's keeper. And it begins here before it can go outside there. Because if it's not happening here, God's really not happening here. Because God is love. All the time. All the time. Isn't this exciting? Shall we clap God for telling us what he's telling us now? Let's do that then, shall we? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm just a man. I'm no one special. I'm just sharing with you what God's put into my spirit. And that doesn't surprise me if I'm faithful to the role he has given me, as if you're faithful to the role he has given you. He's always talking to you. That's my experience. He's always directing your steps. It's what you and I do with what you hear him say to you is the important thing. And so I'm sharing with you something which I haven't sat down and planned. I'm sharing with you something that I have begun to understand as he's been downloading stuff into me, that our effectiveness out there to win the lost, which is the Great Commission. And by the way, let me remind you of something. The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the earth, then shall the Lord comes. What am I saying? He's saying this. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom. He didn't say the gospel of salvation. He says the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, listen to it, church, is righteousness. If I stopped there, we wouldn't get past it. Righteousness, God's way, and only God's way. The application of this word fully to our lives and to one another's lives. Righteousness. The gospel of the kingdom is peace. The gospel of the kingdom is joy. Until this gospel of the kingdom is preached, not just through our mouths, but through our actions, through our lifestyle. Until that, he says, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout all the earth, then shall the end come. We need to start thinking about that a little bit. Not so much what am I doing, but how much of this gospel of the kingdom is operating in me and through me to others. So a culture of generosity and giving. You know that which God began in the beginning? Can we look at scripture in Chronicles, please? First Chronicles 14. First Chronicles, sorry, 14, it's not 14, it is 29. Listen, let me just take you quickly to verse 10. Just read some of these. And I'm taking to verse 10, but if you read from verse 1 through, you'll find out what this chapter is dealing with is the bountiful giving by David to the work of God. It lists the amounts. It's unbelievable amounts of money he gives to the work of God. It's there for you to read. And it was being given not for the people. It was being given that Solomon, his son, one day could build this awesome temple that the world would be amazed at. The temple was called of Solomon. It was given that money. But listen, what I want you to hear is about David. what David said. Verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, God, and of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Now look at verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Listen to David's acknowledgement. Wow! How are we able to do this? It's God that gives us power to get wealth, the Bible says. But when he gives it to us, he gives it to us for a reason, to be used for his glory first. That's where the tithe comes out. The tithe is no giving. The tithe is no giving. The tithe belongs to the Lord. I've had people through the years want to argue with me. Well, I don't argue. I just believe the word. I show the scripture. The tithe is the Lord's. That's the first tenth that comes into our hands. That's no giving. And yet, the body of Christ is struggling on the whole simply because they won't give God what's his. I tell you, there'll be a few people around that if somebody didn't give them what's theirs, they'd take that person to look to court. That's mine. But God doesn't do that with us. But the problem is, it's not him that suffers. It's me, it's you. When we don't honor God, he can't honor us. The Bible says, honor him. He honors us that we may honor him. So David's words here really, really are awesome in the context of our conversation. Lord, how are we, he would say, able to do all of this? and read those chapter verses from verse 1. And see how much David was able to give to the work of God. Just see it there. And then balance that off against you, saying, Lord, you know, how is it that we can do this? Because they had a heart to give to a God who gave and gave and gives and gives and yet gives again. Why? That's his principle. You know the New Testament parallel to that, and there are many of them. One of them is in Luke 6:38, where it says, anyone quote it? Give. And what will happen? Pardon? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't it finish there, did it? What did it say? So shall I cause men to give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Luke 6:38. That takes you right back to what David was experiencing. You can't work it out with your mind, you see, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him not with the mind, but in spirit and in truth. I'm a spirit being today, praise God. People see a physical body, but I'm a spirit being. What makes you a spiritual being, Pastor? Well, first of all, I'm born again by the Spirit of God. Secondly, he now lives inside of me. And thirdly, I live my life according to the word of God. Spirit, spirit, spirit. Wow. God's wanting a culture of generosity and giving to start within this house without anyone knowing who it was that was their beneficiary. Do you understand? We don't want recognition. We just want blessing to flow. Blessing to flow. How can we do that, Pastor? Well, if you got wind of somebody just having a little financial difficulty or whatever, it's not just money, then you, being a good instrument in the hand of God, find some way whereby you can help change that set of circumstances by a course of action that's required without claiming any credit. Glory to God. That's generosity. That's giving. And listen, it's no good your family claiming to be somebody great if within that family there is no generosity of spirit or love for one another, is there? There's no good claiming that. Local church, there's no good claiming that unless we are caring for one another first. Then we'll be well prepared to care for those who are outside the house. And that's what it needs. And I'm going to close it now, but that's just a sense of what God's put into my spirit. I can put a lot of more meat on that, and I'm sure God will help me to put a lot more on. But have you heard the backbone of this whole thing this morning? Have you got the spirit of what I'm communicating? God wants it to begin within this house. And he doesn't want any of us to become an instrument of generosity and giving for recognition purposes. He doesn't want the left hand to know what the right hand's doing. He wants us to do it in his name, and people can just say, Lord, how great you are, how faithful you are. Hallelujah. You've heard me say, I'm sure, over the times, about it's more blessed to give than receive. When I first read that, I got it wrong. I really believed I'd read it wrong. It's more blessed to give. How stupid is that? More blessed to give. It's great to receive. Isn't it great to receive? Of course it is. And then how could it be more blessed to give? Well, the unenlightened person can't begin to answer that question. But the enlightened person can answer it. Because God says, give, and I will cause men to give into your bosom. You wouldn't have to go around foraging to see who could help you out, give you a loan, or maybe do it for you. No, he's your father. He will do it. And you know, I'm not going to take time, but you've heard some of the things, but there's that many. But time and time again, especially in our days of living by faith, and people, we didn't tell people we're living by faith. We had God send, give, put. People just put money, and sometimes they had not a clue what they were doing, but it was God's deliverance. Is that right? It was God's provision right there and then, time and time again. You might want to say, why? Well, if you ask me why, and I didn't always have this sort of understanding, because I look back, Hillary and I, ever since we were married, whatever we had, we were tithe. And even when we were living by faith, having been called by God, had no money, we needed that money. This could have said, I need that money. But we tithed. And to that, from that day, you're going to stand up so people can see and take witness of you, Hillary? From that day to this, is this right, Hillary? From that day to this, God abundantly blesses us. Still is. And we have no pension. We have nothing like that to be able, well, we have one which would equate to about £20 a week. You could live on that, couldn't you? Pretty good. I think it's one of those £20. But all I'm saying, giving God the glory, it's God. It's God. Now, I hope I haven't said anything that would cause you to want to give to get, because that's not the objective. God is love. You love him. You love him. Because you love him, you'll keep his word. Isn't that what he said? If you love me, keep my words, keep my commandments. Yeah. If you love me. See, the evidence of how much we love him We can measure. Every one of us can measure that. Yeah? Just see how much you keep his words. Just see how much of his word is in your everyday living and thinking and actions. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.